Thank you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I'm looking forward to what God's laid on Dr. John today.
Amen.
Coming forward.
Amen. Well, this is a thrilling atmosphere in which to share the Word of God. Now, we've seen two great altar services here today. There's one this afternoon after the Voice of Truth ministered in the 1 o'clock special program. And I think God did some deep work and some hearts, and we give God praise. And we had a great altar service last night. Lots of victory. Probably 40 or 50 people crowded around this altar last night. Tremendous victory. And great victories already tonight. Can somebody say praise the Lord? God's with him. And to God be the glory. Now, this is not contrived. This is not man created. This is God with him. And if man creates it, it's just, we're just so much cranking a crank. But we've been getting together some of the, I've been privileged to get together with some prayer warriors before the services. And we've had some times of prayer. Now, I tell you what, it's been a long time since in the revival or a tent meeting. I've had that kind of intense prayer support from my brothers in the Lord, and we've been having a great time. And praying down God's glory. Confessing our needs. And believing God to work in this time. And we give God praise. Well, I want to direct your attention this evening to the word of the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, a very serious message to give to you from the Lord. Now, the metaphor I'm going to use to get started with is a little bit flippant. But the message is serious. Are you ready? There's a show on the Travel Channel called Man vs. Food, starring Adam Richman. Have you ever seen it? And Adam Richman goes around the country and he tries out various restaurants. Now, I have a close friend that Bobby and Beth and I went to high school with. He lives over in Columbus, Georgia, Todd. And Todd likes to spy out the Man vs. Food website, the Travel Channel website for Man vs. Food, before he travels. I bet Glenn would go too. And then he'll go around the country and he'll sample the wings of those various restaurants. Man versus food. Now, what Adam Richman will do is he'll go to one of these communities and he'll look up one of these, you know, these special menus. He likes the food challenge. He likes the food challenge that especially involves meat because he fancies himself a carnivore. And so he'll go to a food challenge. And the whole idea of these food challenges if you're willing to join and eat the proper amount of this ginormous meal that you find, you get your picture in the hall of fame or infamy, as the case may be. Some of you didn't get that at all. Yes, you have. And I want to suggest to you, my brothers and sisters, that we as Christians are faced with food challenge. It's man. This is food. In our scripture lesson, it lays out for us the food challenge that confronts us as believers. And the question is very simple. Will I be a milk drinker or a meat eater? Will I be a milk drinker or a meat eater? And Paul makes the observation to the Corinthians in our scripture lesson in 1 Corinthians 3:1 when he says, "And my brethren, cannot speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, and not with solid food, for unto now you are not able to receive it, and even now you are not able." The Hebrew writer addressed the first century Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, and he said, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk, not solid food." That's just not right, is it? Now, Noah is my grandson. Okay, how old was he when you saw him on Syria? About 5 months old? Now, she was feeding him some baby food tonight. My wife was feeding him the baby food. And he's getting to the point that he's eating more and more solid food. Now, Ella, are you 2.5, baby? You like to eat, don't you, darling? She likes to eat. She was eating steady tonight. Or was that today at lunch? Tonight. Okay, it's all a blur to me right now. And if a child's going to grow up and mature in a normal masturbation process, you're going to learn to eat solid food, right? And Paul paints a picture of the early church in Corinth, and in the Hebrew writers of the first century Hebrew Christians, was kind of a caricature of Christians who are still acting like babies. And I know none of them go to Methodist Protestant churches. So the question is a relevant one to us. Are you a milk drinker or a meat eater? We have before us a man versus food giant, a woman versus food giant, that God's placing in our lives. Are you insisting in a baby's diet, or are you ready to grow up? Now, milk is for babies. You remember when you were first born again and you first tasted the milk of the gospel? Some of you just had that experience now. Just this week, when you were convicted of your sins, and you repented of your sins, and you forsook your sins, you remember how the Lord lifted? How the baby was giant? The spirit was got light as a feather. You thought you could almost float off, because the baby of sin was gone from it for 3 years. And that milk tasted cold, and wet, and delicious, as it went down your throat, didn't it? And the milk of the gospel through repentance and faith and conversion and pronouncing Jesus Christ the Savior in your life and switching the burden of sin, that milk tasted mighty fine. That's the milk of the gospel that Paul's talking about. He's talking about the first principles of the gospel. Milk drinkers, babies. Now, babies are just amazing to me. I've loved watching my grandbabies. When Noah was a bit younger, about the old 2-3 months old, he'd just stare at you. Have you ever been stared at by a baby? And they'll just stare at you until they find some other creature that's a little bit more odd-looking than you are to stare at. Noah loves bright, shiny objects. If you're wearing earrings, you better watch out. He might just yank them right there. Baby. And the Bible is teaching us in our scripture lesson that there are first principles of the gospel that we're saved into as brand new Christians. Adam Clark translates Paul this way. He says, I've instructed you in the elements of Christianity in the simplest and easiest truth, because from the low state of your mind and religious knowledge, you're incapable of comprehending the high truth. You don't have to learn the ABCs before we learn to read, and such is it is in our Christian experience as well. So what are these ABCs that these brand new Christians learn? They learn their lesson from God's Word, as the Apostle Paul taught them, of course, a lesson of sin. And once they learn about sin, that brought guilt. And once they start that sense of guilt, we know how to confess and repent of that guilt to God. And God was able to speak forgiveness to their hearts. The Bible tells us the story of the church at Corinth when it was planted. It all happened down at Crispus' house. And the Bible says in Acts 18:8, when Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized, and the church was started. Through sin, guilt, confession, repentance. And then a sense of faith. Regeneration, adoption, justification, as they exercise faith in the mouth of the shed blood of Jesus on the cross of Calvary, who gave them brand new life. They were adopted into the family of God as sons and daughters with God and brothers and sisters with Jesus Christ. That's an awesome feeling. Do you remember that? When all things were possible and all things were brand new in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 18, verse 11, very clearly. And Paul continued there a year and 6 months, 18 months, teaching God's word to them, and then he left. These brand new Christians, of course, once they were born again, they learned some things about the spiritual gifts. And Paul talked to them and dragged them in. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, he said, I thank my God always concerning you. For the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ is confirmed in you, so that you come no fear, you come fear with no gift. Eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to be under the new blameless on the day of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the milk of the gospel. You know about that. You remember about it. It was awesome. It was great. It was wonderful. It was spectacular. The promises of the Corinthian Christians. There's a problem. That's right. I saw that picture again today. I said, that looks like Frank Boston. And that's the fact. No. I'm not going to go there. I will be old myself. Boy, I got a rich man. Thank you, Jesus. You see, the Corinthians were spiritual babies. It's a caricature. We found a smaller. But oh my, when you see the manifestation of such infantile, juvenile behavior among adults who come first, they were all torn out. Fasting and division, self-fierce and schism. They were caught up with sexual immorality right there in the church, and they were celebrating how tolerant we are. What's that sound like? They didn't understand how to be Christian married. They had all sorts of distorted and skewed notions about what God's design for marriage was. And worship? They didn't get that. Their worship was distorted. The Bible tells us when it came to spiritual gifts, they had them all, but they were all using their spiritual gifts and say, I have more spiritual gifts than you do. Look how superior I am. And it was nothing more than salvation by work. Based in pride. And it disgusted God, and it made Apostle Paul grieved and angry, and he tried to teach him differently. And then when it came to the Lord's Supper, some were bringing intoxicated alcoholic wine to church and having the Lord's Supper and drink until they got drunk at church. It was a mess. They were babies. And they weren't progressing at a natural rate of maturity. Now, what do we call that when a baby doesn't progress at a natural rate of maturity? They're obviously developmentally challenged in some way, right? Sometimes we even talk about if it's cognitive, we say they suffer with mental retardation. Their growth, their maturity is slower. You think there might be any of among us that are suffering with spiritual retardation? You see, God's design is that we grow up. Sin, just been born again. That's glorious. You really want to be transfused. But some of us have been in the church for an awful long time, and pastors are still wiping our noses, warming bottles, popping them in our mouths, and changing our messy diapers. Some of you pastors, that sounds like a job description, doesn't it? Come on. If you can't say me, say out. And if you can't say out, just smile at me and say, bless his heart. I feel so much better now. Babies cannot process adult food. Babies need milk, not meat. Listen, friends, it's not a sin to be spiritually immature, but if you stay spiritually immature, indefinitely, it involves sin. I said you with milk, Paul is saying. I was giving you the most light and least disruptive, most digestible diet that I can possibly serve you. You're anything but gourmet in your taste. You can't you know if you're anything substantial. I find myself filling bottles, warming them, popping them in your mouth, Paul says. Changing you when you're wet and messy, and generally treating you like a spoiled temple baby. And if it weren't so tragic, it would be hilarious. But it is all too true. And we call ourselves Christians. And so the Apostle Paul creates this alarming caricature, this picture of a Christian who's still nursing in the battle of entry-level gospel truth, who has not matured into in a natural acceptable process of maturation. What happens when you give a milk-drinking baby solid food? Well, they spit it back up, don't they? I've seen it get all over Noah, all over his face and his hair. It gets everywhere by the time he's done, doesn't it, Cody? Not giving a tummy ache. And sometimes when you feed a baby solid food, it might run through them and come out in a diaper looking very much like a little one that went in, right, Mommy? The baby. They can't handle it. And much the same thing seems to be happening to the immature Corinthian Christians that Paul was addressing. Now, the scripture lesson tells us, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. And Albert Barnes puts it this way. He said, I could not regard you as divested of the feelings which influence carnal men, the men of the world, and I address you accordingly. I could not refer to you as far advanced and well informed Christians. I tell you the rudiments only of the Christian religion. So Paul says, I've got to bring you to become mediators. I've got to present before you a food plan. I've got to get you past drinking milk, and I've got to get you on meat. And that's the goal of every pastor who really wants to see a spiritually mature body of Christ. Now, Adam Ripley, his idea of a man versus food challenge is that big quarter half steak. Well, that looks pretty good right now, doesn't it? And he fancies himself a carnivore, a meat eater. You know, what would it be like? What would we look like if we were Christian carnivores, consuming the meat of the gospel? Could you get into it? Into the meat of God's word? Or just kind of lazy and fluffy with it? And start leaning on the meaning of God's word and now I'm summoning it on his veins and sucking on the juice. Come on now. I'm talking about the meat of the gospel. So Paul says he wants to feed the Christian the meat of the gospel. So what does he say a Christian carnivore eat? Are you a Christian carnivore? You're too nice, you are or not. That's why I give the list of what a Christian carnivore eats. Number one, he says a Christian carnivore eats the message of spiritual wisdom to the spiritual mature. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6, however we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age will come into nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, now is not seen the world's heard, nor the image in the heaven and the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But the Spirit of God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. The message of spiritual wisdom is for spiritually mature people. Have you ever asked God for wisdom? The Bible tells us in the book of James, if we ask God for wisdom, He won't show this for us, but He'll grant it to us. And a lot of us lack wisdom because we've never asked of God. A Christian carnivore is consuming spiritual wisdom. It's for the spiritual mature. A Christian carnivore is consuming the deep things of God that are revealed only to the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in our scripture lesson, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God, and He reveals them under the spiritually minded, the deep things of God. And then the Apostle Paul tells us that a Christian carnivore consumes that diet that is compatible with the mind of Christ. The diet is compatible with the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 16, that we have the mind of Christ, Paul says. So what exactly is this meaty message of the gospel then? Paul develops it right here in our scripture lesson. He tells us that this meaty message of the gospel is holiness in the spiritual life. It's holiness in the spiritual life. You see, if God is calling us past doing milk drinking, to get us to sit after the table, knife and fork in hand. Are you ready? Cut it up for ourselves without mom and daddy's help. Come on. Get a bite-sized bite. Pop it in our mouth and bite into that juicy, rare, pretty hot stuff. Look at it. Man, that tastes good. I'm talking about holiness in the spiritual life. As Paul is describing this, he describes three people. He calls them men in the second and third chapters of 1 Corinthians. He talks first about the natural man who's lost away from God. Things he came into camp this week as natural men, natural women. Lost away from God. God is in our conscience and understanding. In need of a Savior. In need of repentance. And then when we repent, we're new creatures in Christ. But we're still struggling just like the Corinthians were as carnal men. Carnal men. We want to say Christ, but we were like that 2012 Camaro last night, you remember? Emergency brake on, in gear, and Carlos was mashing on the gas and redlining that thing, and we were going nowhere, but we were about ready to blow our engine. And then we find ourselves struggling with that double-mindedness, desperately in need of a deeper life. And then Paul describes the third man, a spiritual man, as abandoning himself to the cross of Jesus Christ. He died himself. He's been filled with the Spirit. He's got sanctifying fullness. And he's able to sit after the table, pull out the knife and the fork, cut off his own meat, and get a bite. And eat a full meal of the meat of the gospel. I'm not talking about warming bottles and popping them in your mouth. I'm talking about growing up. In Christ, this meaty message of the gospel is holiness in the spiritual life. It's leadership by example. The leadership issues in the Corinthian church were all in there. They were all askew. Some said I followed Paul, the founder. Some said I followed Apollos, our eloquent evangelist. And others said, seeking to sound a bit more spiritual, I follow Christ. There was some tax factor. They were all trying to exert spiritual superiority, each over the other. And the Apostle Paul says, come on now, I'm going to follow Jesus. Get in line behind me. Let's go. And let's step out in faith and in obedience. And Paul sets the standard. He says, I will lead you by example as a man hungering after God's heart and after the meeting message of the gospel. All Christian leaders will stand up in the midst of an age of chaos and be men and women of distinction and purpose and clarity of message and conviction. Amen. to proclaim the word of God with uncompromising, unswerving integrity and fidelity to God's word. We need to take a mighty stand when we say, we need young people who are filled with the Spirit and who are living out this meaty message of the gospel to stand up for Christ in the public school environment. Young people who will stand up for Jesus in the workplace, no matter what they're performing and damning and blaspheming and stealing from the boss, either through one unit or through the other. And you'll stand up with integrity and live a life of honor and honesty from God. The witness is to the gospel in your life. And you need to take the healing and the meaty message of the gospel. And be leaders by example who will rise up the spirit till the day it comes. Who will not be satisfied sucking in a bottle. Who will not be satisfied with just living indefinitely in one milk, but are ready for a mature diet that's meant for us. Who's going to walk with God? You know, young people want to be treated as adults. I work with young adults all the time. And how often I've been reminded, especially when I was in student services at Kentucky Mountain Bible College, we're adults, don't treat us like children. But oh, the group of us who would be ambitious to be spiritually mature at that in Christ. I've seen young people your age who are more mature in Christ, oftentimes than their parents, their Sunday school teachers, and even the pastors. Because they've embraced holiness. They've embraced leadership. They've embraced spiritual adulthood, and they started learning to cut up their own meat. And I want to challenge you tonight. Let's embrace the message of the gospel of holiness, leadership, and spiritual adulthood. Albert Barnes says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, he translates it this way, but God has revealed them, these deeper things, to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. I'm talking about growing up into an adulthood where we're walking with Jesus in intimacy and we're seeking out those deep things where we're putting the meat in our plate and cutting it up and exploring the meat of the gospel by God's grace. So the question is still before us. It's a simple question. It's this, are you a milk drinker or a meat eater? Are you insisting on eating a baby's diet? Or are you ready to grow up? Young people, you can listen, but this one's not for you right now. I love your adulthood. Well, I'm concerned that far too many of us have allowed ourselves to exist in a kind of spiritual immaturity. Well, we've been satisfied to go to church, like pastor whip the spoon in the problem and put it on our lips. Come on. And when it comes to a daily quiet time to dig out the word in our own lives, to seek a life of intimacy and communion with the Father, to grow up into a kind of spiritual adulthood that gets beyond just popping the Bibles in our minds. Every Sunday morning, letting pastors sing through us. We're embarrassing caricatures of what God designed us to be. Now that just wasn't the right side, so let me come over here. Did y'all hear me? It grieves my heart. Why are churches powerless? Why are we not seeing evangelism in our community? Why are less loving still dying and going to hell? And we see, well, you've got to take your own path. Everybody's got to do what they want to do. and we're not praying conviction down. We're not seeing God move in revival. And part of the reason is we're just living nominal kinds of lives, letting Pastor Nate run the battle and popping in our mouths on Sunday. And when it comes to digging out the rich truth of God's word and being men and women of the world and people of the church, we look more like diapered babies who are 50 years old. I'm grieved by this. I see it all over the church world. Every day I go and we get into the tiniest little squabbles and the most drama over the tiniest little things. And here comes Corinth all over again. Diapers and bottles, diapers and bottles. We lift the pool. We clean up pretty nice. But within we find ourselves lacking. And here's one of my concerns that I express while I'm being just really plain and honest. If we don't dig deep and invest in the kind of intimacy with God and the walk with God that models a life of Bible holiness, as two meat eaters.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we just end up with a form of godliness that says all the right words, all the civil acts that we even know how to pronounce, all of our words. And we just get running for our doctrine. We run around and run the back just to wait. But all of you are asking, a fascination. And the glory of God is departed, and the has been crafted out of the center of the sky. And I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting. I'm going to get some young people saved this week, and some have already gotten gloriously saved. Some may even get enough light and understanding to enter into the altar boy in the glory of God, and experience a clean heart to his sanctified baptism of the Holy Ghost. But what about us? We step back in our churches with clear testimonies to be being born again. Some of us even have a historical reference to a time and day when we were truly destroyed in God's sanctifying fire. But what is the last time God made me happy? He was just crying in my tears. What is it, Jesus? And we just seem satisfied with sucking our bottles. Let pastor change our messy wet diapers. And all the while God is calling us to holiness. The clanging call of the gospel to the deeper life, to the life as we speak into the gospel. To the glory of God and the advancement of His kingdom. You know I love you tonight. Oh, my heart is filled with such love for everybody here. I teach the hard truth, but I teach it because I love you and I want you to know that God's devotion to your communion with Him and not in the great gift. Because if you were going to hear, you are not only my community, but all the things I beg of you. Let's step up to the table of grace. Let's cut up the meat of the gospel. Let's plunge into the deeper life of intimacy and holiness with God. Let's set a high standard. Yeah. fullness. It says that without violations, no violations. It's God's power that is in the church. And I just need a fresh day of that evil, passionate love for Jesus. Instead of telling us, it empowers us to walk with him in intimacy for the glory of God and for Jesus' name. Stand together. Bow our heads all over the tabernacle. All over the tabernacle. It's been my custom, not because I don't like or don't believe in our adults. It's been my custom this meeting to open the altar first for the adults. The reason is I believe we set the standard. We set the example. And if we'll set the example with a passionate love for Jesus and a high and holy standard, it'll be a lot easier for young people to set it from us. And I'm going to continue in that custom, even tonight. Bow your heads and hearts with me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we want to love you. We want to know you. We want to walk in holiness before you. We want to walk in intimacy before you. We want to live for you. We want to display a holy passion of perfect love. It's contagious. We will change our churches, our family, and our world for the glory of God. We want to be true leaders. We want to be men and women, God, with us. With the woman and the love and the spirit of love and the soul of the Lord, thank you for your love and the blessing you have made. Thank you for your heart as we pray out about you. It is a question of the kingdom of holy perfect love. For the glory of God and your blessing of the kingdom. And may there be something about us that has a contagious winsomeness. The marriage before our young people, the love of God, and the love of His word, and the love of holiness. For the glory of God, you said. The door is gathered early on here. Young people, I'm going to ask you, if God's speaking to you, come right now. Obey God right now. You step right out.